5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, February 21st, and in Dallas, Texas, it's very cold. So wherever you're at, be warm.
It is chilly, like a little 13 blanky. Degrees chilly.
Yes. Yeah, colder than we're used to. You know, I know we've got a lot of listeners that live in Alaska, we've heard from, or in Canada, or in parts of the upper northern UK and stuff. And it's like, y'all are built for it. We are not built for that down here.
We are not. School gets canceled because sometimes it's going to be too cold to go outside.
I just saw today they had to send some kids home from a high school because they go, boilers just shut down. Like the boilers tried so hard and they got so far. And in the end, it did not even matter. And they all had to go home.
Oh, man.
What a time.
Man, doesn't even matter. Which... You know what? I'm starting to believe that that is the case.
Oh, no. Hopefully not. Hopefully there'll be, there's good things in the world, like our listeners that we got to hang out with at the University of North Texas. Shout out to, if you're a new listener who came to our show, I think most people did not know who we were, which is always fun.
Sophie did.
Sophie, what's up? Shout out to Sophie. You said hi after the show.
Sophie.
Good luck in school. And so what's up to all of the new, I'm sure all of them went home and immediately downloaded it.
We had a fun time.
We did.
And thank you everyone for coming out in the cold.
Yes.
It's my alma mater. So I'm expecting an email about doing the commencement speech for this graduating class any minute.
Yes. Now that you all listen, if there's like a write-in option for who your commencement speaker is, write in Christy Wallace, please. You will not be disappointed. Man. I'll be in the audience with
you'll
McGruff.
You'll be something. I don't know.
Hold my hand. What it is you're doing a serious speech and then I'm crouched underneath and then McGruff just jumps up and I'm like, hey, everybody.
Like they have ASL interpreters, but McGruff will just be on the side.
Talking on the side. Absolutely. Well, that's the plan for sure.
Thanks. It'll be a graduation you won't forget. I promise you that.
One not to forget. Well, if y'all are looking for something else to do, if you're graduating, not graduating, who cares? Don't forget, you got to get on the boat with me and Christy Wallace. Get on the ship, baby. It's about to be your chance to go on vacation on a boat with us. This is it. And
It's a ship.
And
I only want to stress that because I went down a TikTok rabbit hole of modern day pirates.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like cruise ships are impenetrable because, first of all, there's too many people that yeah, are we just fight trying back. To shuffleboard and drink a pina colada. And they're like, we're not trying to fuck with you.
No.
So, you know, keep on going. Plus, we're not going through like pirate waters. No, I believe we are going through the Bermuda Triangle, though.
Triangle.
So who knows what's going to happen there?
The triangle awaits. Well, we're talking about Crime Wave at Sea 2025, the one of a kind true crime festival happening this November 3rd through 7th. It's going to be exclusive collaboration, fan meetups, activities for y'all to connect with each other. Also, it's not just us on stage, us and some of your other favorite true crime content creators like Henry and Ed from last podcast. You got True Crime Campfire, Scared to Death. So it's going to be a killer lineup on this True Crime Cruise.
It's going to be so much fun. Tickets for this incredible experience are on sale right now. Act fast, though. Spaces are limited and tickets are going.
They're going.
Thank you to everybody who's already booked their spot. If you are like, well, I kind of don't want a cabin to myself. I want to bunk up. We've created on our Facebook Patreon and our Discord, like where you can connect to see if other fans maybe want to be a little roomy for the vacay. But yeah, there's going to be live shows, fan meetups. You get to chill with us. Going to the Bahamas.
Hell yeah,
going
baby.
Going to a private island.
Fuck yeah. Basically, I'm trying to just like eat unlimited amounts of food.
Hell yes.
Do cool like excursions, but also just late at night, look up at the sky and try to see some USOs.
Or down or below.
Down below.
Just contemplate. How deep do you think this is right here?
We're about to find the alien base.
What do you think's down there?
We're going to go above where Victor Vescovo has gone in the depths. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to grab your fan code. And if you're also on the fence, you can get a fan code. They're totally free. And then through the fan code is how you then would book your cabin. But the fan code is the way to get in and start looking at cabins, price it out, see what you want to do. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and join us and the folks that have already booked. We're so excited. But like Christy said, act fast because there's only so many cabins and so many seats at the festival. So you're not just competing with Sinisterhood fans, but also Last Podcast and Scared to Death and True Crime Campfire fans. So it's going to be great. And it's not competing because you're all going to be best friends at the end.
Yeah, we're all going to be best friends. We're all like-minded. So,
hell yeah.
You know, we're gonna solve something. There's a mystery at sea perhaps occurs, and we are all there. If a mystery at sea did occur, what better people to solve it than a ship full of true crime podcasters and their fans?
Just Heather and Henry going, I know what I saw. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to see an alien. We'll get probed some one way or the other. Crimewaveatsea.com/sinister.
Somebody's getting probed. That's why you got to get a roomie. So, you know, can guarantee your probing.
Guaranteed. Well, what a lineup of stories you've got for us today, folks. Running the gamut from, as we love, a silly, lighthearted tale all the way to a jaw-dropping one that is kicking us off today from M.
Yeah, we're taking a hard turn into this one. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This one is from M. It is called, I Think My Father Helped Kidnap a Woman in the 1980s. In content warning, there's mentions of rape, CSA, and DV. M writes, I love you, ladies. I saw you live in OKC, and earlier this week, I found myself entangled in a true crime mystery involving my uncle and possibly my father. My father's older brother was in prison for the majority of my young life. My family told me my entire life that it was a case of he said, she said, and that he didn't know the young lady he assaulted was underage. He was charged with 105 years in prison for rape, sodomy, etc. He served from around 1983 to 2006 in a minimum security prison in central Oklahoma. I was recently doing some genealogy research on my dad's side of the family and came across a newspaper article from the Daily Oklahoman that opened up a can of worms I never expected. The true story reported in the newspaper included trial testimony where the young girl, who was not named, thank God, was actually threatened, lured to a church parking lot, and kidnapped by my uncle. She was also held for 3 days in his apartment. She was 14, and my uncle was probably around 32. The article stated that my uncle had made numerous phone calls while holding her prisoner, and one phone call included the statement, I have the girl, what do we do now? After reading the we in that statement, I had the horrible sinking feeling that I knew who the other part of that we was. I have the feeling that my father was an accomplice to this heinous act. My father is not a great person. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison for child sexual abuse in 2007. I stopped all contact with him at that point. When I was young, I witnessed firsthand the verbal and physical abuse he enacted on my mother. This was from birth to when I was 10 years old and they finally divorced. I genuinely believe that my father is a sociopath. I was honestly not surprised by my father's conviction, since his brother had been in prison since 1983 for also abusing an underage girl. What truly cemented my belief is that my cousin, my dad's sister's daughter, had heard a story from our other uncle, my dad's younger brother, that my father had brought a box of tape recordings to his home just days before the offending uncle's trial in 1983. He asked his younger brother to hide these tapes. Being only 18 and scared to death, he did as he was told. My father later called him and told him he needed to get rid of these tapes, which he did, later confiding in my cousin that this act was the biggest regret of his life. My feeling is that my father would have never, one, had those tapes, or two, asked his younger brother to hide them unless he somehow shared partial responsibility for this kidnapping and rape. My father cared about only one thing, himself. He would do and say anything to convince people he was a loving and caring father and husband, when behind closed doors, he had abused my mother, threatened to unalive himself in front of me and my sister, and I later found out that he had also tortured and abused his first wife. In my belief, there is no way he would have ever done anything to help another person, even his own family member, unless he was somehow involved in the crime or knew about it while it was occurring and did nothing to stop it. Call me crazy, but am I the only one who can logically come to the conclusion that my father was somehow involved in this, but escaped because he hid evidence that could be used against him? I believe that my father may have helped plan this whole thing, then panicked when his older brother was arrested and scrambled to hide evidence that would make the charges worse for him and would possibly reveal my father's participation in this kidnapping and assault. Also, is this considered slander that I'm expressing these accusations anonymously on a podcast? Again, love you two, but I had to get this story off my chest.
Well, first of all, Em, you're protected. I think you're okay with all this. Yeah, that's I don't want you to feel like telling the truth would ever endanger you of defaming or slandering someone, because you sound like you've found evidence of something, or, you know, heard evidence of something, and you're asking, what could this evidence mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no other connections to this and what you just said, but given his history and what he's already been convicted of, I don't think it's a huge leap to think that he could have been involved in this crime as well, which is absolutely heinous. A 14-year-old and men in their 30s, yeah, keeping her for 3 days and right. sexually assaulting her.
The only thing I could think would be if it did not come up at trial that those were tapes of a prior crime that would show predilection toward this. And if the family wanted to frame it as a he said, she said situation, perhaps his attorney framed it at that and said, he's never done anything like this before. She's accusing him. And if brother, M's father was like, well, he has done stuff before and I did it with him and I've got tapes about, like, you know, discussing it, proving it, et cetera. That would be something else to consider. That's really terrible that your other uncle was kind of put in this position to like be vaguely threatened to like get rid of evidence and like being so young. And like, especially if you're 18, your brother's in his 30s, you're like, okay.
It seems too like he was always a very angry and violent person. Yeah. So, you know, that's if I think your family would know stuff like that and probably might be scared of him himself, but your uncle for that being the biggest regret of his life. Clearly that's something that he struggles with a lot. And what can you do now? They're gone. But you know, what was on them? Probably something incriminating and terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one comes over and says, hey, do you mind holding on to these?
No.
It's for a surprise for my wife. Like, and especially like you said, given the M's dad's reputation for violence, I don't imagine it was like, hey, brother, I just need you to do me. It's like, hide these, and if anybody finds out what's on there, we're all going to die. I'll kill you. But having a person like that in your family, much less two people like that in your family, can be a lot to shoulder. And so don't ever feel bad about reaching out to somebody to work through that on your own, because that, you know, work through that separate from them, because the ripples of crime reach out and affect, mm-hmm. you know, family members of both the victims, but also the perpetrators. And you're just as much a victim as any of the other people these men have hurt and survived it. And I'm glad that you're feeling comfortable enough to, you know, share it in whatever way with us, with other members of your family. Because it's not easy. I know, especially if it's protecting the abuser. Oh, it's just he said, she said, you know, he's family. That if you're the one going, no, I'm here to talk about the truth, that can be hard. So kudos mm-hmm. to you for being brave.
Yeah, that's a horrible thing to learn about anyone in your family. And yeah, definitely take care of yourself and speak to people that aren't just us about it. If that would help, a therapist, other family members. But good for you for not just sweeping it under the rug like so many things back then did.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, this next one is from Butch Kelly, and it's called Dr. Death, Harold Shipman, Came Into My House. Dr. Harold Frederick Shipman moved to Hyde, Manchester in 1977 and began working as a GP at Donnybrook Medical Center, where my family was registered. He worked there until 1992, and during his whole career as a doctor, he murdered almost 300 of his patients by injecting lethal doses of morphine into them when he made house calls. His victims were predominantly over the age of 60, which is probably what saved my mom when he made one of his house calls to my house in 1991 or 1992, when I was 1 to 2 years old. My mom was around 26 or 27 and had been having some chest pains. The surgery sent out Dr. Harold Shipman. Thankfully, as she wasn't part of his victim profile, the visit was normal. And in the end, my mom was fine, and we never saw him again in person. It was so surreal to see him in the news in 1998, accused of killing his patients. I had neighbors who went on TV defending him because they just couldn't believe he had done it. It's a very famous case here in the UK, and I'd love to hear a full Fat Sinisterhood episode on it. I love you guys, and I listen to you every week. Keep up the good work. Butch Kelly.
Well, thank you for writing in, Butch. This is one of the most prolific serial killers mm-hmm. in modern history, with an estimated 284 victims over the course of 30 years.
Especially when they're older adults mm-hmm. and they're already vulnerable. Mm-hmm. This shit, there is a special place in hell for people like this.
Yeah, and that you can get away with it for that long. Because much like serial killers who target sex workers or people struggling with addiction, they choose people that maybe have a closer potential likelihood for befalling an unfortunate fate. Mm-hmm. You know, an older adult, well, she just died in her sleep. And so instead of that, you just go in and go, well, no one's going to notice. And then you just get away with it for 30 years.
Was whatever you're reading there, Was there a motive, or did he just like to kill? Was it financially related? Was he stealing from them as well?
He was just their doctor. So I believe a God complex, wanting to exert control over others. Doesn't seem that he gained anything. We in Dallas had a serial killer targeting older adults in their homes that was kind of motivated by jewelry and valuables. But this was like, he would go make house calls and administer morphine over
lethal doses.
Yeah, too much. So it is said that potentially he had some sort of a connection with his mom, that she died of lung cancer when he was 17. And his MO later modeled what happened to his mother, that in the later stages of her disease, she had lung cancer. She had morphine administered to her in the home by a doctor. And he as he watched the drugs get administered, sort of watched her pain subside and then I guess eventually pass away and get obsessed with it, fixated on it. He was convicted of 20 something of the murders and then died by suicide in his cell. But it's always unfortunate when somebody is like that much of a controller and you think, oh, we finally got him, he's going to be punished, and then, you know, takes that way.
Yeah. It's also wild that serial killers like this really do have an MO, and it's, you know, they're presented with an opportunity where they could kill, like with your mother, and she just doesn't fit the profile, luckily, but but you know, she's young, so it would be looked into more if all of a sudden she just died. But older people, they don't look into it as much. And so it's easier to get away with that.
And it is. And I believe that's how Shipman got caught, was that somebody was paying attention and said, hey, this is a lot of cremation forms from this one doctor. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. And it takes another person going, you know what? Yeah, let me look into that. So let us never think that our efforts are too small, because he was he was still practicing when they caught him. He would have kept going for another 10, 15 years probably. So that is so eerie, Butch. Thank you for writing that in. Just to think about that person who he's like, when he shows up at a house call, it's like, will you live or die? I'll decide.
Right. Mm-mm. And when he showed up to Butch's mom's house, he had already killed hundreds of people
by then.
Mm-hmm. So the same hands that killed others are now touching your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know who people are.
Truly.
You know?
It's eerie. It really is. Especially when it's somebody that's in a trusted public-facing role like a doctor. You know, in our previous Freaky Friday, when our listener said, you know, my husband worked with this doctor that was a sex abuser.
Yeah.
And here we are at, like, you know, cocktail parties with them or whatever. You know, Harold Shipman went to the company Christmas party, the hospital Christmas party every year. You know, somebody had shortbread cookies with them. And so stories like this, I think, is what give us those chills, because we don't know who we might be toasting.
Yeah. And much like in the first story, kind of like he said, she said, or we don't want to believe somebody's capable of this.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors going on.
Yes.
Reporting news reports saying he could have never. Well, he did about 300 times. So just because someone's nice to you doesn't mean that they're not capable of horrible acts.
Right. It's that interesting necessity that we all have to face it, where a tiny worldview isn't the whole picture, and accepting that, like, sometimes you have to rely on the input of others and what their experiences were at a person to get a 360 view of who someone was, versus going, well, my interpretation of the world is the right one. It's like, no, you got to listen and keep an open mind. Otherwise you're on TV looking like a dumbass, because you're like, Harold was a lovely man. And you're like, just take 2 seconds and maybe listen to the victims.
Yeah. That doesn't age well, for sure. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. This next one is from Sarah, and it's called The Day I Accidentally Stopped My Kidnapping. Hi, gals. You may remember me from the last Freaky Friday I sent in about accidentally stopping a bank robbery. Well, it turns out I might be at it again. It's possible I thwarted my own kidnapping. Short side story. On the day this incident happened, an extremely rude customer had come into my place of work right before closing and decided to needlessly draw out his transaction time for nearly half an hour. This royally pissed me off, considering I had plans that evening and wasn't expecting to have to stay at work later than usual. Once that asshole finally left and we were able to get things closed up, I started my journey home, raging to myself about having to stay late. I live in a densely populated area, and it's pretty common for traffic to back up at certain exits, especially at rush hour. I was two exits away from the one I needed to get off on when traffic slowed down and I felt the thunk. I'd been rear-ended. I looked to my right to see the car that hit me had sort of sideswiped me as well, putting my passenger side window and the other guy's driver's side window together. I rolled my window down and asked him to pull over. I wanted him to go first so that I could see his plates. He gave me a bewildered look and gestured for me to go first. His passenger yelled to me, "He gets nervous about the traffic. Just pull off to the shoulder." And my gut immediately told me that things were not going to go well. I pulled over, got out, and dialed the police. To my surprise, the offending driver actually pulled over. The two men walked over to me as I was told by the dispatcher that the police in my city no longer go to the scene of minor accidents, and as long as no one was hurt, we could, quote, let insurance sort it out. Now remember, I've been seething since leaving work late, and at this point, my give-a-damn is fully busted. So I frustratedly said, "Cool, well, thanks for fucking nothing," and looked to the men from the other car and said, "I need to see your driver's license and insurance information now." The driver told me it was in his car and then he needed to go back and get it. He then got back in the car and drove off, leaving his passenger with me on the side of the interstate. As I'm muttering each and every swear word I know and trying to take a photo of this asshole's plates, his buddy kept saying, "Don't worry, it's okay. Like I said, he's just nervous about the traffic. He's down at the bottom of the exit ramp." I looked at him like he had two heads and said, "Like hell he is. He's very obviously fleeing the scene of this accident." "No, no, no," he assured me. "Here, let me let you take a picture of my license so you know who I am," he said. He took his license out and let me take a photo of it, then continued, "Yeah, he's a good guy. He's just down at the bottom of the exit ramp. If you'll let me hop in, we can go down there to him." As he casually reached for my passenger door as if he was going to get into my car, I said, "What the fuck do you think you're doing? Get away from my fucking car." He then acted like he was offended, saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I showed you my license as an act of good faith. I know my buddy's down there. I'm trying to help you." I said, "I don't give two shits about you or your buddy. Touch my fucking car again and you'll regret it. I have a weapon and I'm not afraid to pull it out." This was a bluff. I've never touched a gun in my life and only had some pepper spray that I hadn't even ever tested. But he didn't know that. After he considered the threat and the palpable rage emanating from every pore of my body, he backed up a couple steps and put his hands up. I ran to get back into my car and sped off down the exit ramp, just in case, but no sign of the car that hit me. The next day, I told all my coworkers what happened and how ridiculous the situation was. Everyone was so perplexed about the stranded passenger and both of the men's sketchy-ass behavior, commenting on how wild the story was. The next bit gets a little he said, she said, but one of my employees actually told her best friend about the situation. Turns out the best friend then told her husband, who is friends with several police officers from a neighboring county. These officers told him to tell her, to tell my employee, to tell me, sorry, I know that was a lot, that what happened to me is sometimes used as a kidnapping or human trafficking tactic. Essentially, two people will bump into a car driven by a single female just enough to make her need to pull over. The second car will pull in behind her. One person will make an excuse to leave, and the other will ask the woman to drive them to a second location to meet back up with the other driver and exchange insurance information. If she complies, well, I assume nothing good happens afterwards. It isn't super common, and I was only able to find a few records of kidnapping cases related to hit and runs, but I was definitely shaken after hearing that I may have been targeted. Last time, my obliviousness saved me from a robbery, and this time, it was good old-fashioned female rage that saved me from a potential kidnapping. My friend Amy, another longtime listener of you ladies, recommended sending the story in, so that hopefully you can all share it as a warning. Stay safe in this wild and crazy world, ladies.
Well, that definitely sounds like some type of scam.
Yeah.
You know, if you usually go to, like, what is the most often happening thing here is not going to be like a widespread trafficking scheme. They're probably just going to like hold you up and like steal your money.
Yeah, steal your car.
Or sexually assault you. Yeah.
Rob you. Yeah. Yeah.
It might not
nothing
be that.
Good.
No, it's never like, but it's not like that he was just a nice guy that needed a ride. But all that, it's so funny that you think about, like, I was so mad at that customer that made me stay late. But also, that customer that made you stay late got you fired the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
So then when this shit happened, it's the burnt toast thing, right? Where you're like, damn, I was pissed at that guy. But like, also, shout out to that guy. You pissed me off so bad that I might have clawed this person's eyes out. And I needed that oomph within me. So thank you. Also,
but also, if he hadn't taken his time, she would have been home earlier and never had to get hit in the first place.
That's true.
You know, there's two sides to it. But at least he did work you up enough to where you were like, not today, motherfucker.
No,
but this is so freaky. As soon as he drives off and I'm there with the guy, I'm like, nope, this isn't gonna end well for sure. And then you get back on with the police and say, no, you do need to send somebody out because some weird sus shit is happening.
Right. It's not a minor accident. This is some sort of a weird scam operation, at the very least. But I do appreciate that you reacted as viscerally as you did when he went to reach for the handle of your car. That's so presumptuous.
That's part of the scam, too.
Oh, like, certainly.
Well, if I'm already doing it, you know, they're not going to say no because they don't want to be rude and stuff.
Yes.
No.
So I was about to say is, like, as you all listen, gentlemen, this is what a thing that is used to control women is to be like, can't you just be more polite? I'm just trying to help you. And I will say, as a woman, I don't fucking have to do any fucking thing. And neither do you. Like, as you listen to this, be like Sarah and just say, no, give me your insurance. I am being, I was trying to show you good faith. Da-da-da. You are trying to manipulate me. Fuck you. I can hear you right now. And you give me your information. Let's get the fuck out of here. I'm not engaging in whatever this little scheme is here.
It's probably also a fake license. So,
right?
Like, what was the point of that? You know, it is like a fake act of good faith to try and win you over. And then, you know, you saw the car wasn't down there. So when he gets in the car, what does he do? Pull out a weapon and then forces you to drive to a second location where maybe that guy is waiting. And then something terrible does happen.
It absolutely does. I keep my pepper gel that also has a UV stain in my center console of my car. Because I'm like, what if someone comes up to my window and tries to get in my window? I could crack it and spray him in the face. And or I keep a tire thumper in the back seat that's like a stick that's about it's about 2 feet long and has a metal ball bearing in the end of it. So it gives you a good thwack to test the air pressure in your tires is why I have it.
Oh,
it tests the air pressure in
you
your tires.
You got to test the air pressure.
I mean,
you'd be stupid to not have something that tests the air pressure.
Yes. And they say truckers use it to test the tires on 18 wheelers. So it tests tires really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it my whacking stick. So I got a whacking stick in my gel pepper spray because I go and park in forest preserve parking lots. It's, when I'm by myself. So I try to stay strapped without being gun strapped
being strapped.
Yeah
Well, I agree. Stay safe in this wild and crazy world, ladies.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Well, this next one is from Rowan, and the subject line is, "My brush with Moorish sovereign citizens." Hi, gals. When you guys put out the episode on sovereign citizens, I got so excited because, one, it's such an important thing for people to know about, and two, because I have firsthand experience with how awful it can be. My friend works as a doula, specifically with marginalized communities, primarily Black women. Their help starts a few months away from birth and continues for a few months after. So the period of my friend helping them can be anywhere from a few months to nearly a year. Usually, they help with things like doctor's appointments, teaching baby care basics, parenting classes, help with finding jobs or applying to housing, and they provide things like baby formula, cribs, clothing, car seats, etc. Basically, it's a way to provide the village that some women don't have for whatever reason. A lot of the women are younger, in a bad place, freshly moved, etc. The organization is amazing and does incredible work in the community. They even have doulas who work specifically with women in jail. At the time, my friend was also my roommate. So for months, I heard about this one client that was very sweet, but seemed a little strange. All my friend knew was that the woman had two older children and they had moved away to stay away from an ex. It's not an uncommon situation with this job. She was fairly guarded, sometimes to the point of seeming suspicious and paranoid, and wouldn't really give much information. She also had a few different names she went by, and would often dodge questions about a home address, home visits like check-ins, etc. My friend understood that this could be to protect herself from an abusive ex, perhaps, but there are some things that you kind of have to do in order to make sure the children and the soon-to-be born baby would be safe. The real worrying came when she told my friend that she didn't want to give birth in a hospital because she didn't want any paperwork about her baby. When asked why, and after my friend explained that this was one, dangerous, two, illegal, and three, just didn't make any sense, this woman started in on the group she's a part of, the Moorish Science Temple. This group had apparently encouraged her to do several illegal things. They had helped her, quote, get an apartment through apparently forged papers. So she was basically squatting in a house with her children. They told her that if she allowed her child to have a birth certificate, the baby will be taken away or will, quote, belong to the government. They encouraged her to falsify documents and papers and seemed to also be trying to cut her off from anyone else, including help from her own doula. It may not sound like much, but my friend and I were both terrified for this woman, but especially her children. This was years ago, but I remember my friend being so scared that this baby would be born at home in secret. All that we could think about was how easy it would be for someone from that group to kidnap that child. The emphasis the group seemed to pose on the lack of documentation was especially suspicious to us. I believe the child did end up being born in a hospital with the right documents, but the woman made the whole experience hell because she argued about everything, refused to trust anyone, and kept lying, even to her own doula. My friend tried so hard to be patient with her because she was under the impression that this woman had likely been through some trauma with her ex, and it seemed understandable that she would be nervous. Well, it turns out this woman had also been avoiding documentation and such because she had literally kidnapped her two older children. The father was not abusive like she had said. In fact, her custody was taken away because of her own actions, and she managed to steal them from school one day and took them across several state lines. The father had been in a different state searching for them, but the police hadn't really helped. I think it was soon after the woman gave birth that she got caught somehow, and the children were returned to their father safely. She was in the Moorish sovereign citizen movement in her old state too, and it was their presence in our city that likely made her come here. She's in jail now, I believe. I feel bad for her because I really do think she has something going on mentally that she couldn't help, but I also don't think you should be stealing your kids. The sovereign citizen movement is so scary for so many reasons. Adults can do whatever they want, but when children get involved, I get really scared. Who knows what kind of abuse could happen in those situations when there's no proof that a child even exists? Anyway, thank you for reading and thank you for a wonderful podcast. It's my go-to and has been for years now. From Rowan.
Well, this is something I had never even really considered when we were talking about sovereign citizens. Neither of my children were born in hospitals. Mm-hmm. I had a doula and a midwife and gave birth at a birth center with both of them. You still get documentation. You still get birth certificates and everything. So you would have to kind of go out of your way to not register your children. Yes, it would be easier, I assume, if you're having them at home. Mm-hmm. But just because you don't have them in the hospital doesn't mean that you don't get any of this paperwork, which they had clearly told this woman, like, well, you got to do it at home so you don't get a birth. No, you still get a birth certificate. I mean, you got to send off for it and stuff, but it seems like they were telling her a lot of stuff that wasn't true.
Yeah, or just trying to get her to skirt that and say, well, like, even if you do have the kid at home, you don't have to send off for anything. And it's like, because if you do, then they're going to have, your kid's going to have to go into commercial law and like fight the flag with the fringe on it or whatever. I agree, Rowan. Like, it's one thing if you want to adhere to some wackadoo belief system that quite literally puts you in danger.
Yeah.
But it is very scary to sort of conscript the kids to then say, I'm going to actually cause a ton of fucking headaches for you for the rest of your life because you don't have a birth certificate. Now you can't, you know, you need that to register for school or register whatever.
You never know how old you are. Like those kind of stories where you're like, I don't even know when my birthday is. Yeah. And Rowan makes a very good point. Without documentation and stuff, it's easier to just kind of fall through the cracks or fall off the face of the planet. And I hadn't really considered that. And that's a really good point that these, they're not just like wackadoos. Oftentimes it's very, very dangerous, especially when minors get involved because they don't have a say.
No,
they're
truly
being forced into it and they're being kidnapped and taken across state lines, which is a whole other set of trauma for those kids to deal with.
No, absolutely. And the dad trying to search for them and, you know, God knows what kind of quote unquote support system you get whenever you are relying on other sovereign citizens to be, you know, help you with babysitting or whatever. But I did not think about the idea of having a kid without documentation that can then get just passed around. And I don't mean that in the terms of like, this kid's definitely going to go be, you know, abused, put in whatever, but like just some different family that's like not even related. It's like, that's not your right to do. So I applaud your friend Rowan for the gig that she had. You know, it sounds like a beautiful thing to be able to like help shepherd people through that process. But to run into somebody who's trying to like skirt the process, like for getting bad information from someone else, it's like, that person just needs to break free and make decisions for themselves. And it sounds like they would rather adhere to this belief system.
My doula is fantastic. Shout out to Becky. She's a listener and I love her so much. And it is such a rewarding and important career because there's so much stuff that I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do during labor, or even leading up to it. And they do act as shepherds and to especially have a organization that helps women in jail, that is invaluable. So shout out to all the doulas. Y'all made it so much easier, at least for me, to get through it. Because when I was like, I can't do this. Becky's like, yes, you can. You can do anything. You're so strong. And I'm like, I don't have a choice. It's coming one way or the other. So I better buckle up.
Well, yeah, shout out to the doulas. They make life happen, quite literally.
For sure.
Well, thank
you. She brought Simon right into this world.
Right after his, was it Simon that you had the cold cut combo and then he was born later?
I was watching Chernobyl and was like, this is such a good show. So I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. Then that was a mistake. Got to the birth center and maybe an hour later he was born. Ooh. It happened fast.
Ready to go. Well, well, thank you, Rowan, for sending that one in.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost.
On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, this next one is from T, and the subject line is "Some hope for wildfire survivors from a survivor." Hello, ladies. I felt like I should write in to give some hope to recent wildfire survivors from someone who is over 6 years into the recovery of the deadliest wildfire in California history, the Camp Fire. The fire that completely leveled Paradise, California, many areas of Concow, about half of Magalia, and burned into Cherokee as well. A quick synopsis of my experience in this hellish fire. I went to work in the next town as usual. Once I arrived, my coworkers were frantically telling me to go back home. One even closed my computer and wouldn't let me work. I started heading home and drove far over the speed limit once I saw that the entire town was under mandatory evacuation. I got home, secured our dogs, and painted our phone number on our horse in case my husband didn't make it home in time. He did make it home, and we decided to get out of there. It was 3 hours to get out of town with fire all around my car, the horse trailer, and my husband's truck. Some of the wildest things I saw was firefighters focused on life-saving rather than fighting the fire. We also saw police ushering people into motorhomes that were walking along the street. The entire town was in flames, and we lost approximately 90% of the town. The sky was black as night at only 9:30 a.m. Our home, 5 family homes, not to mention many childhood friends' homes, did not make it. Cell phones didn't work, and we couldn't talk to many of our family members until later that night. 6 years later, we are well into recovery. Most people I know personally have rebuilt or bought new homes, and the town is slowly but surely coming back. It is a defining moment in one's life to lose both their home and their hometown, but things do get better as time goes on. So many of us, including myself, have sought therapy. This is one of my most highly recommended actions following something as traumatic as this. Our family is even more rooted now in our little town as we're all fighting to see it come back. We do not like to be known for the worst thing that has happened to us, but we hope that our little town can show hope for recovery and resilience. We've had the most amazing people create nonprofits, such as the Rebuild Paradise Foundation. They created a wall with all of the school children's handprints to bring hope and brightness to our park. The people that have come together to rebuild this place are truly incredible. Thank you for all you do, T.
Oh, man, T. I don't remember this happening. I feel bad that I don't. I just looked it up to see what caused it. And it said, investigators announced that PG&E.
That's them.
What's that?
They're the electric company. PG&E is the one that famously Tom Girardi sued that caused those explosions that really severely injured that young man. His throat was burned. His whole body was burned. PG&E caused that explosion.
Well, so, they also caused the California campfire. So
yes. The city killed 85 died, I believe. So yeah. That is deadly and devastating to say 90% of the town is gone. But thank you, T, for bringing that other perspective that while, you know, the town as it was cannot be brought back, a new town is built in its place and you see the resilience and the heart of everybody coming back together, you know, saying we want to show the hands of the kids. Like, that's who we're doing this for.
The images from the most recent California wildfires, I mean, literal hell is what you look like you're driving through. And when you, team, mention you're driving and there's fire all around your car, I mean, it's apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And having to write a phone number on the horse because if you don't have the trailer, you can't get the horse out. And people did just have to let their horses and stuff go because animals are smart and hopefully, you know, find higher ground and stuff. But just those things that you're like, I never thought I would have to do this. I don't even know what to do right now. I guess I'll just paint this, my phone number in case he's found. But luckily, your husband got home and you were all safe. It's a reminder too that 6 years and it's still coming back. Like, I mean, the Palisades, that's going to be decades before, you know, that is completely rebuilt. And like you said, it will never be the same place, but hopefully it can be a place that is even more tight-knit and bonded after having experienced such devastation.
Most definitely. Well, thank you, T, for sharing that first-person experience. Yeah. And it really painted a picture. The sky going black at 9:30 a.m. is definitely an image that I will be thinking about. So,
and it's a reminder that until the end of this month, we're donating all of our merch profits and matching 100% to California wildlife relief efforts. So there's still a few days to get those orders in, and it'll go to a good cause.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, T, and thanks to everybody that shopped so far, too.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, this last one is from Molly, and the subject line
is one of my worst fears.
Honestly, the subject line is almost real death at a fake murder party. Molly writes, "Hello, thank you for your wonderful podcast. It has become such a safe space for women like me. And by like me, I mean grown ass adults that have shit themselves in car related situations. You don't need details, but man, there are not enough rest stops in the rural area between Chicago and Champaign-Urbana. Anyway, I've written in before and promised you I'd send this story in. You previously read my Rome Catacombs and Hilton Head Ghost Dad prank stories. This particular event happened to me when I was in middle school, so between 2006 and 2009. To give you a reminder of that time period, the first iPhone was announced, the Jonas Brothers were taking over the world, and a large portion of my grade missed the Six Flags trip because they had the swine flu. My friend Sarah had invited me to a murder mystery themed birthday party. Not just murder mystery themed, but murder at a teen beauty pageant themed. We all raided the closets of our older siblings, cousins, or moms for the cheesiest old prom dresses we could find. There was maybe a group of 15 or so middle school girls at the party, adorned with big ass sleeves, sequin tulle, and way too much satin. When we arrived at the party, we were handed a paper with a character's name and backstory. We did our best to act as our characters while we milled about Sarah's living room, anxiously awaiting for one of the guests to be revealed as murdered. I took advantage of the many appetizers while I chatted with my friends slash beauty pageant rivals. I would mainly go back and forth between those little salmon and cream cheese pinwheels and the bowl of Starburst jelly beans. Between jelly bean handfuls, I'd hoist my oversized strapless dress back up and talk in the southern accent that I decided my character should have. But suddenly, a lone jelly bean from the pile I shoveled into my mouth decided to roll down my throat before I could chew it. I could feel it just sitting in my throat. I tapped Sarah on the shoulder and said, "Oh, wow, this is crazy. I just ate a jelly bean without chewing." Sarah didn't notice what I said. I tapped her again, except no sound came out when I tried to speak. I grabbed at my throat and stared at Sarah in shock. I could no longer breathe. Sarah looked at me and then smiled and laughed. "Oh my God, Molly is dying," she said. The rest of the crowd turned around to look at me. "Oh no," said another girl dramatically. "Molly can't breathe." They seemed to be enjoying the fact that I was choking. I didn't understand why no one was helping me. Why didn't my friends care? My friend Celia said, "Aw, Molly, do you need the Heimlich?" I nodded in response, and Celia leaned over and made a big show to give me a little hug. Tears began to stream down my face. I still could not breathe or talk. I started to notice fear or confusion in the eyes of a few girls. Clearly, no one was going to help me, so I decided to just leave the room. I ran into the empty kitchen because I guess I decided in my panic that I'd rather just die alone. As I entered the kitchen, I felt strong arms wrap around me. In two thrusts, the jelly bean flew out of my throat and across the kitchen. Sarah's mom had followed me into the kitchen and saved my life. She had assigned the characters to each girl, so she knew that I was not supposed to be the murder victim. All of the partygoers were shocked. All of them thought I was pretending to die dramatically according to the script I was given. The girls felt terrible that they didn't help, and I received many apologies. Sarah gave me a feather boa and a crown to wear for surviving the whole ordeal. The girl who was the actual murder victim had an offstage death that was nowhere near as dramatic as the show I put on. Although I do think the whole thing was pretty funny, it did have a lasting traumatic impact on me. Choking or feeling like I might choke became a huge trigger for my anxiety, and I often felt like I had something stuck in my throat. I thought this was all in my head until I had an endoscopy after I was in college. Turns out I have something that's called eosinophilic esophagitis, or EOE. It's a chronic immune system disease that can inflame or injure the esophageal tissue. Damaged esophageal tissue can lead to difficulty swallowing or cause food to get stuck when you swallow. I guess it wasn't all in my head after all. I manage my EOE by taking acid reflux medication, and I haven't needed the Heimlich in years. So if you feel like you often have food in your throat, maybe you have EOE. The end.
First, thank you. I love that the end is catching on. We're all going to start ending our stuff with the end.
The end.
This is so scary. God. It reminds me of Scream 2 when she's standing up in front of the screen and everyone thinks it's part of the movie and you're like, no, I literally was just murdered. I'm choking to death. However, if you had been the murder victim, fantastic acting skills. And that's probably why the real one had an offstage death, because they're like, how am I going to follow that? She literally almost died. My whole bit is not going to be nearly as good as that.
There were like Molly went method and she wasn't even assigned the role. So I can't even compare. You're doing some fucking, what's his name? Yeah. Meanwhile, Molly's over here, Daniel Day-Lewis-ing it, and everybody else wants to quit. But shout out to Molly's mom, not Molly's mom, but your friend's mom for rolling in and being the hero you deserve.
She knew. She was well, this wasn't the victim I picked. So exactly. We're going to have to change course here. This reminds me of your bachelorette party, although no one choked on a jelly bean or
thankfully,
a shot that came out of a syringe that looked like blood.
That's
but
right,
it was a murder mystery themed party.
That was actually like this week, like 2022.
Oh,
this
really?
Because I just got like a memory that popped up that was like, it was like February, like late February of 2022. So yeah, shout out to my sister for my murder mystery bachelorette party.
It was so much fun.
And if you're looking for a theme, thank you. And if you all need a theme, I highly recommend it. It was a very good time. And we solved the case just barely, did we? But thankfully no one choked, for real. Because this is scary, but.
It is. Yeah. Anything where you are in literal distress, but people think it's an act, terrifies me. It's never happened to me, but you see it a lot, tropes and stuff. And so to know that like this really did happen to Molly, I get it. It would give me a lot of anxiety too, but it also led to you finding out you really do have something that caused this, which I'd never heard of that, but that is, oh man, taking pills or anything would be just so scary if you have this.
Right. To just worry. And or just when you're eating, you got to eat and drink every day. That's kind of like not an optional thing. So I'm glad you found some way to treat it and hopefully like manage it and keep it under control. And thank you for letting the rest of us know that this is something we can ask about if we have it. And also a PSA to either have one of those, like I have seen the TikToks for them. I don't know if it's legit. I'm sure our listeners would be able to tell us. But it's a thing you put on a kid's face and it suctions the thing out of their throat.
I've seen those.
And or to know how to do the Heimlich maneuver. Because especially if you're going to have a sleepover with like 15 kids, you don't know if one of the kids might start to choke and you've got to go and jump in. So good on that kid's mom for like being ready to go. And
Your mom saved Nancy, a kid's life with the Heimlich. Yeah. My mom Heimlich'd me.
That's right.
When I was choking on spaghetti as a kid. Probably saved my life then too. Choking is so scary.
It happens so fast.
It really is. It happens so fast and you're so out of control and immediate panic sets in. So it's really, really scary.
No, I don't have a kid and I thought about ordering one of those mouth sucker things from
TikTok. They're for adults too.
Well, fuck it. I'm going to put one in my kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, anybody can choke on something.
So. I guess that's true. I have like parties over here. What if I have like an older relative start to choke on something? Just stick it on their face.
Or on 30 Rock when Tina Fey was like, I'm always worried I'm going to die choking by myself because I live alone.
And then she just like throws herself over the back of the chair to like Heimlich herself.
That's another way to do it if you are by yourself, though.
I'm like, if I ever have to Heimlich myself, I'm going to be like, thank you, Liz Lemon. You taught me this.
Our lives were all saved by Tina Fey in more ways than one.
For sure. Well, thank you, Molly, for sending that in.
Yes. Thank you so much, Molly. And thank you to everybody that sent in a story for today's Freaky Fridays. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Well, speaking of sending stuff into us, where can people now send weird, hilarious, spooky, whatever type of videos for us to live react to?
Go to sinisterhood.com. There should be a banner on the front page, but also sinisterhood.com/scaries. And you can send in whatever videos you think are weird, funny, old. I'm like a fan of like vintage stuff. I like old training videos, weird commercials, creepy stuff. Like, what the fuck were we thinking back then kind of stuff. And if you send it to us at sinisterhood.com/scaries, you can hang out with us on Sundays at 8:30 on YouTube.
Yeah, we stream every Sunday now at 8:30. We call it Sunday Scaries. And you can watch us analyze, react, maybe dial a 900 number that comes up on something. We love to dial old phone numbers we find, and sometimes somebody answers.
Sometimes somebody
one time answer. Someone answered, and that was on a porch stream that you can also watch on our YouTube. And I've thought about it every day since it happened.
It is a wild time, but yeah, make sure you go to youtube.com and find us, search Sinisterhood, Sinisterhood Podcast, and follow us on YouTube. It helps us out. It's also free to do. And you also get alerts anytime we go live or post new videos at youtube.com/Sinisterhood Podcast.
If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, such as Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
Oh, yeah. And then y'all get to give your input in the comments, which makes it 100 times more fun.
And also submit your own unpopular opinions or Am I the Asshole. We love listener submitted ones as well.
Absolutely. If you go to sinisterhood.com/contact, that's where the Patreon form is. And we have free trials. So if you're not sure what all those things are, you want to check them out, you can join for free at any tier, check out the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. We also have Join for Free, where you can join as a free member to hear updates from us. And once a month, you get one of those weekly bonus content segments like Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, released to you, as well as a backlog of the free bonus content that you can also check out. And that's not a trial. It's just free always.
Yeah. It's just us saying thank you for supporting us. You also get ad-free episodes on Patreon, monthly live stream Q&As. They're now the third Thursday of every month. quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And like we said, now through the end of February, whenever you buy something on there, we're going to donate 100% of the profits and match those donations 100% to California Wildfire Relief Charity. So join us at sinisterhood.com/shop.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and the links for the fan codes for Crime Wave at Sea 2025.
Oh, we'll see you on the high seas, matey. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Like we said, follow us and subscribe over on our YouTube channel. Check out short videos of the show on TikTok and order custom video shoutouts for you or the Sinisterhood fan in your life at cameo.com/Sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.